Hey, everybody. Happy Thought Crime Saturday. Should Aaron Rodgers become vice president, or at least vice presidential nominee with RFK? We talk about banning TikTok, what America could have been under the Polk map, and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Watch this program every single Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member, members.charliekirk.com. Members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Okay, happy Thought Crime Thursday, everybody. We have with us Blake, Tyler, and Jack from a very special studio. Let's get right into it. To ban or not to ban? That is the question. Blake, set it up.
All right. Well, so it seems like people have talked about this for 2 years and it went nowhere. And then suddenly it just went everywhere in 1 week. Congress just like all unravels and they're gonna ban TikTok, possibly. The U.S. House voted pretty overwhelmingly. Most Republicans, most Democrats advanced a piece of legislation which, to be specific, it empowers the White House, the president, to designate an app as owned by a foreign adversary government. And then they have a time limit of a few months to divest themselves of that app. And if they do not do so, then it is banned from U.S. app stores, which means the iPhone, Apple App Store, Microsoft App Store, Google's, and so on. And it's going
so
to
it
the Senate.
It wouldn't ban it.
It would not ban it. It doesn't say, it's not a one-line piece of legislation that says TikTok is banned. In fact, all it does is say it lets the Biden administration say TikTok will be banned if they do not do the following things. And what they're required to do is ByteDance, which is the Chinese company that owns it, they would be forced to divest themselves of TikTok in the U.S. so they could just sell its operations to some other company. And if they do that, then it can no longer be banned.
So, Jack, how do you where do you fall on this? There's been kind of a division in certain Trump circles or conservative circles. Do you support this bill, this piece of legislation?
So it's really weird, right? You know, I'm coming at this from a guy who spent the better part of 18 years either learning about the CCP or focused on China. And I've never seen this level of support for something that is just on its face anti-CCP before. So right there, that just gives me pause to say, wait a minute, is there something else going on? Is there something weird, something amiss? Because I've never seen this in Washington, D.C. ever in 18 years act like this before. In general, yes, 100% divest TikTok from the CCP. However, I do have pause as to what the actual guts of this bill are. And I know you and I both had Raheem Kassam on today. He says he's gone through it and hasn't seen any issues in the exact wording of it. But I'd love to do a little bit more of a deep dive to make sure that there aren't any of these, you know, kind of hidden meanings or hidden effects from the thing. In general, though, of course, this is something that I would support. I don't know about this specific bill enough, but in general, yes.
Tyler, how are we scoring this or looking at this? And what was the vote tally in the House? And kind of walk our audience through the Freedom Caucus versus MAGA wing. What's going on here?
So not everyone in the Freedom Caucus opposed it, but a good chunk of the Freedom Caucus did. So what I think a lot of people would consider the most conservative members of the Freedom Caucus that are like the kind of go-to, the Andy Biggses and co, that kind of the former Freedom Caucus shell. Matt Gaetz, others, they opposed it. And part of the reason why I'm hearing that their opposition to this is because it gives way too much control to the executive branch. to make determinations. And there's a concern that the determination is that they could score an American company as being too foreign or foreign influenced, in which case then that could ultimately just give the executive branch the control and power to start wheels in motion and really ahead of this next election, shut down social media again.
So Blake, that's what some people have said, is that this can be then used and abused. Where do you fall on that? That some people call it fear mongering. Some people say that's just what the government does.
Yeah, I guess I feel like with any piece of legislation that comes together very quickly, and it just does seem like this came together very quickly.
Bizarrely, after
a lot of stalling out. And then everyone's saying, we're going to do this right now.
In an election year.
And even if it's not intended to be abused, even if it is written in a manner to prevent abuses, I feel like the trust level with the federal government is low.
Is in the negative.
And always going lower. And, you know, just like glancing through this, it gives the power to the attorney general to start investigations into violations of this. So what happens if they just start harassing your company and demanding all of your stuff to see, oh, are you actually controlled by a foreign adversary? And that's part of it, is it gets into, it's controlled by a foreign adversary. It's not owned, because I don't believe the Chinese government literally owns TikTok. It's more that, in the sense that every Chinese company is perceived as to some extent dominated by the CCP, because it's an authoritarian country. Mm-hmm. And so you can easily see how definitions start getting loose in there. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll say, well, any app that's linked with this country is really owned by that regime. And then you get this, you see the chain of events start taking place.
Yeah. So Jack, kind of be our China expert here, Chinese Communist Party. Is what Blake is saying correct? I mean, can saying that it's CCP, or is it factually correct to say that it is owned by the Chinese Communist Party, an owned and operated asset of the CCP?
Well, so, I mean, the way that business in China operates is very different from the way that business in the United States works, where in the United States, you have clearly delineated lines between what is a private entity, what is a public entity, what is a political party, what is not. In China, the party has sort of control over everything, in a sense. Every enterprise is allowed to rise or fall, because the party at one level or another, I'm not saying that they're, Xi Jinping sitting up there like making decisions on what the algorithm is going to push today. And I've heard people say that. I think that's a little silly. But it's sort of like, as long as they're respecting the things they need to respect, as long as they're doing the things they need to do, then they're fine. And this, and by the way, ByteDance and Douyin, which is what it's called in China, are not the only, there's a ton of other social medias in China. The main piece of it, though, of course, is that each of them do have to fall under the auspices of the CCP. Now, to answer your question directly, my big take on this is that the angle has always been, they keep saying, well, you don't need to do this because actually they're saying that, oh, the servers are in Texas. You don't have to worry about it. Your data is not being shared at all. Well, if that were true, then couldn't they just divest it on their own and set up their own new company? So Jeff Yas, who's this guy that's invested in it, couldn't he just set up like TikTok America? And suddenly it comes out and it's founded in Texas, whatever, and do that. But they won't do that. And I can only believe number one, the main reason is cost on one hand. But then number two is because they probably do have a very robust data sharing agreement. I don't think it's a backdoor. I think it's the door between your data and anything that's going on in the server farms in China, which, of course, are absolutely fully open to any Ministry of State Security, Second Bureau, PLA, Second Bureau operatives in the Chinese intel community that they want.
So the question also is, can it apply to other apps? We're streaming live on Rumble right now. As the way the bill is written, Rumble has Canadian connections. So that's not necessarily an adversary, but we're literally communicating on what application.
Not yet.
Yeah, well, right. So Tyler, we're literally texting right now on Telegram. We love Telegram. My blessed loved Telegram, but they say Telegram is Russian. Could they use this bill to ban Telegram?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too. They can't. I mean, we had Raheem, who I respect, and I reread the bill. Telegram's totally on the chopping block here. I don't know why anyone would think it isn't. Like, am I wrong?
I mean, it's the sort of thing where they could probably sue you and a court could say, well, no, they're not owned by the Russian government. And you can definitely make the case.
But then they would say,
you can see them try to abuse the bill.
But whatever precedent that they make with TikTok could just be applied.
What it's doing is it is creating a new tool in the toolbox that they could use. And I think we always need to be wary of that, because I guess this is taking a bigger step back here. I'll be blunt. Well, what do I see as the biggest threat to American freedoms right now? I'll be honest. I don't think it's the Chinese Communist Party. The biggest threat to American freedoms, as I enjoy practicing them, is substantially other people in the United States. It's large companies in the United States. It's the United States government. It's ideological actors in the United States. China is an adversary in a lot of ways. They compete with us. They even sometimes want to hurt us. But I don't think they have this same agenda of like maximizing restrictions on like my personal speech. I don't think China actually cares that much about that.
But
even if they did,
you agree though, China's an enemy of the United States.
They are an adversary of the United States.
Okay, what is that? What is that difference?
I think, well, so I think enemy implies that they really would go out of their way to hurt us, even if we were not really important to them. Like, it is an express goal of theirs to hurt us, as opposed to having the goal of like China being number one, China being the most powerful country, and the U.S. is an obstacle to that.
Sure, but that's an enemy relationship, right?
Tomato, tomato, but
okay.
Adversarial.
But further than that, I just see a lot of stuff about like China owning TikTok is bad because China can use the algorithms in TikTok to destroy the United States.
Well, they're making our kids trans. That is a real thing.
I don't think that's true. I think Americans are making each other trans and making the kids trans, and it's convenient for them to blame China for this. And
I don't blame China.
If TikTok gets sold off to a U.S. company, do you think that will make TikTok more woke or less woke?
Less woke.
Really?
I mean, for example,
Google bought this company, it would be less woke.
I mean, I can say things on Google and Instagram and Facebook I can't say on TikTok. Why is that?
I don't actually think that's true.
That's 100% true.
And even if it is, I don't think if they bought them that they would change.
For example, let's just take Facebook. I can talk about trans issues all day long on Facebook. I cannot on TikTok.
Yeah, but that's because Facebook is entirely dependent on boomers who don't like Obama for their bottom line. But the employees,
mostly young people, but yeah.
To the extent TikTok is woke, it is because TikTok's American users and American employees and American political actors want TikTok to be woke.
Can I say why I disagree with you on that?
Because the
way that TikTok is operating, the reason why Charlie's had the experience that he's had, which is what our organization's had in general, is that TikTok is only beholden essentially to the District of Columbia in the United States. So the way that TikTok views how they moderate content is essentially all through just the District of Columbia, which isn't far off from Google, to be honest, but it at least Google and Facebook and other groups are a little bit beholden to the 50 states. And why is that? Because they're so dependent on their income that comes from the stores that they own. The number one fear that the American companies have is that antitrust laws will be invoked in each of the 50 states. And that's probably, and we don't take advantage of that enough. We don't talk about this enough in the conservative movement, but all 50 states, all the red states together collectively can effectively control Facebook and Google and Apple by flexing that muscle. That muscle cannot be flexed right now against TikTok. And so that's a real concern. That's a legitimate concern. That's part of the reason why I believe that like the content moderation is much more severe, because all they care about is what answer they get out of the District of Columbia as far as operating in the United States. So having an American ownership element would help, because if we do flex that muscle, which the Republicans have not, conservatives have not so far, then that gives some balance of power. And that's part of the reason why I believe Facebook pulled back so significantly over the last 2 years. But, you know, ahead of this next election, we'll see. They could be worse than ever before. Your argument could be proved valid. I just don't think that we've invoked antitrust laws as much as we should.
So you don't think that the CCP manipulates the algorithm?
I don't even think they would know how to manipulate the algorithm. Like, if you wanted to manipulate China, if we owned an app in China, do you even think we'd be able to do it?
But then why is the Chinese TikTok different than our TikTok? Someone's
because China censors the crap out of their internet.
You just said they don't know how to do it.
Like, China censors their internet. And also, they're censoring it for Chinese people
in China. But you just said they don't know how to do the algorithm. That's them doing the algorithm.
No, I'm not saying they don't know how to do algorithms. I'm saying, how would China, a country that actually doesn't understand America that well at all, like if you
they have American assets here,
of course they do, but they aren't really good at understanding America. Like, do you think Xi Jinping understands what American meme culture is? Do you think he even knows what a meme is? He might not. And China's own censorship in China is imperfect and extremely brute force. They just have to like blanket ban things because that's what they're able to do. And then there's some stuff with AI, and AI is very good at flagging, let's say, oh, find anything that looks like Winnie the Pooh and delete it because it's making fun of Xi Jinping. But it's not very good at deducing that Winnie the Pooh is a meme in the first place. You would need someone else to figure that out.
So Jack, split the tie here. Does the CCP, are they in favor manipulating the algorithm to try to push trans content, or just, let's say, the more left-wing stuff that we see?
I think that it's probably overstated. And this is what I said initially. I don't think Xi Jinping is sitting there, or that the Chinese Communist Party have a direct, you know, outlet that is focused on manipulating the algorithm. What I do think that they're doing is those intelligence agencies and those intelligence services are using it for those purposes, using it for data collection purposes, reading messages that people are writing on there. If you're, you know, son or daughter, or even a, high level, high profile individual, high value target, whatever you call it, is using the app, then they're certainly going to be using that. But as far as their algorithm, unfortunately, I think that number one, they're definitely not trying to make it positive. But I do think that there's something that Blake is pointing out here that I think gets maybe to the heart of why we don't like TikTok. And that's because so many of the users in the United States on TikTok are searching for those things, because those things are becoming so popular. And because more people are searching for them, then it's becoming, you know, this sort of like negative feedback loop, a toxic feedback loop, because this is what they know, quote unquote, does well on TikTok. But it's not necessarily because the CCP wants it to, even though, of course, it is to the CCP's interest. I think, unfortunately, it's the United States and the culture, the youth culture, and the just really culture of degeneracy in this country that that has taken so much hold.
Final thoughts, and let's get to one of our partners here.
It reminds me a lot of conservatives know this video. It's the former KGB guy describing
Yuri Bezmenov.
How you would undermine America.
Yes.
And a lot of people see this and think, oh, that means all the things I don't like are a KGB plot. And the answer really is, if the KGB was involved in that, they just saw something that was already happening and they amplified it, and probably not that effectively.
Yes.
The real truth is we're looking at the mirror and not liking what we see, and we're deciding like, oh, the Chinese did this. And mostly we do it to ourselves. And if we want to ban TikTok because the CCP is bad and we should take an asset away from them, that's fine. But I don't think it's really going to fix any of the problems socially that we attribute to TikTok.
Let's get to the Rumble Cloud here. Rumble Cloud, are you tired of getting a surprise when you see your cloud services bill every month? Well, our friends at Rumble have done it again, and the stock is going up really big, everybody, ever since this announcement. You go to friends.rumble.cloud. They've built the cloud for the parallel economy. The disruptive Rumble Cloud pricing will blow away the big tech clouds with big savings and more predictable budgeting. Exclusively for friends of Rumble, sign up today at friends.rumble.cloud and receive 30% off the first 3 months of your cloud compute subscription, which will be available for purchase later this quarter. Rumble Cloud services are essential cloud services you need for any business to help innovate and grow. Head to friends.rumble.cloud and sign up today. This is a huge announcement, everybody, so check it out. friends.rumble.com. All right, what do we have next?
Aaron Rodgers for vice president. So this just broke on, I believe, late Monday, that, or maybe it was Tuesday, that this is in the New York Times. Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura, top RFK Jr.'s list for running mate candidates, basically.
I think that Aaron Rodgers would be brilliant. You get 20 million eyeballs every single Sunday during election season, and I just think it would, I think it'd be brilliant.
I think
what am I missing here?
I don't think it would boost his actual take in the November elections. And then I do wonder who it would draw more of. I think it would take him under 1% of the vote.
I think it would actually hurt Trump more than Biden. What do you think, Tyler?
Oh, for sure. It doesn't help us.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers would do it? Leverage?
I don't think so.
Do you think the Jets would Jets might sue or something?
They release them.
I don't think Jets would have to take all that dead cap money. I think they might just have to grit
suck
it out.
And they release. What are they paying him? 30 or 40 million a year now?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
They'd release him or bench him.
You think so?
100%. I can't imagine that. It'd be too expensive. They went all in on Rodgers and then he got hurt. And
back to Zach Wilson, everybody.
I just can't imagine them doing that. It'd be very funny. I want it to happen just because it would be extremely entertaining, and that's a good rule for what to do in politics these days. Part of the fun, by the way, the Daily Beast reports today, Aaron Rodgers was on another ayahuasca vacation.
Another?
Yes.
You got to watch out.
In Costa Rica.
We should do a thought crime on ayahuasca.
Yeah.
It's not good. Stay
when the news broke, he apparently was blindsided by the New York Times piece. He had no idea it was coming.
He thought he was still on his trip.
Yeah, according to NFL punter Pat McAfee, who has that show now, the quote, the world...
McAfee,
whatever. I don't follow this crap.
It's okay.
The world found out while that man was in Costa Rica ready to sit with the medicine, as he calls it. And... McAfee said he spoke with a source about the situation, implying the source was Rodgers himself, and said he is not 100% sure that the quarterback for the New York Jets necessarily knew the New York Times was going to be reporting that he was potentially going to be vice president.
You guys realize, I like Aaron Rodgers. I like him.
I like him a lot.
I didn't know he had three Achilles heels here, but this is, do you understand out of the woodwork? And again, everybody we know gets their entire life completely investigated. The stuff that professional athletes have
that they
in
do,
their skeletons in their closet is beyond any normal citizen on earth. And we just let it go. But when you run for president and vice president, those things aren't let go. It will make Trump's the skeletons they pulled out on Trump look like nothing.
Well, with the key difference that I think we can agree at the least, RFK is not going to be elected president. He's not
He could decide the next president.
He could if he's polling high. The reason I don't think it would boost his candidacy is I think it would create the sense that this is all a carnival act. It's a joke.
That's part of it.
A lot of people like Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people agree with Aaron Rodgers. They like that he is willing to say whatever comes to mind on McAfee's show, that he'll say whatever about the vaccine or anything like that. But there's a big leap from that to I literally like the idea of Aaron Rodgers as second in command of the United States of America. And I think...
Yeah, but it's a gimmick, obviously.
It's a gimmick, right? But okay, but then you have a presidential candidate who's running as a gimmick. And I think you saw that I think you even saw that with Ross Perot, actually, that it went a bit downhill as a result of that. Like, it was just perceived that he was like a little too weird and out there, even though on policy he had a lot of stuff to like, a lot of stuff we would agree with today. But most voters take the idea of becoming president pretty seriously. And I think it would just make this all a huge joke if
what do you think, Jack? If Aaron Rock, first of all, just strategically, you couldn't buy the earned media. You couldn't buy the earned media that because Aaron Rodgers would be on Sunday Night Football. They might bench him. You're right. They might release him because he would hijack like the prime time of the prime time. He would wear just like a Rodgers Kennedy like socks or whatever. Okay, but before I get to that, we got to play cut 80. Then I want Jack's reaction.
Well, there's ideas that some of the noises from the Dolphins when they're lovemaking, the frequency of that is actually healing to the body.
I guess, what is this? I believe Aaron Rodgers listened to dolphin sex sounds to heal his injuries. because the frequency aids the healing process.
That's
an old tape.
That's when McAfee was at Boulder when people thought Deion Sanders was a good coach.
Well, he's not allowed to go on McAfee anymore.
No, but by the way, McAfee.
They brought him back. I think they brought him back.
Oh,
now.
Did they?
Or at least.
Are you sure?
I thought he was banned.
I thought he was banned.
I thought they said no. But I actually have a theory about this entire thing. I think this is all a plant to get to make Kennedy look more conservative by the liberal media.
That could be.
And this is entirely, none of this is true. Like Jesse Ventura, like literally Aaron Rodgers, it's just people that have agreed publicly that are liked more by conservatives. And they're trying to give Kennedy, and Kennedy might even take the bait with this thing, right? Which is like, oh, I need to have someone more conservative as my VP.
Jack, sorry, it's hard when you're this remote setup. Go ahead, Jack. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we were, you know, interview people or whatever. When you look at this question with Aaron Rodgers, I just don't know that he would do it, to be honest. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's something that he would be interested in, you know, that much. It's obviously not a huge part of his life, politics. I mean, he's done some podcasts, he's done some stuff, but that's really it. He's never really run for anything. And, you know, I think when people first get involved in something like this, they realize how nasty it is and they just don't want to get into it. But then, you know, what I thought was really interesting, though, if you actually read through the report, there were two other names that they mentioned that, again, according to sources, RFK had reached out to, one of which was Rand Paul. And apparently one of Rand's strategists is also working as a consultant for RFK's campaign. Obviously, there's a lot of connective tissue and where those guys stand on a number of issues. And apparently they had some conversations. Rand Paul, though, came out unequivocally and said, I don't want to get involved with the campaign. And another person they had been apparently was. And again, this, you know, if we trust, you know, the NBC reporting here. But Tulsi Gabbard was apparently being vetted at one point by RFK. But she has now pulled out of that. And as we all know, has been getting a little bit closer to the Trump camp. Holding a meeting with President Trump at some point over the past year. She was at Mar-a-Lago, I think, like last night or the night before for not a Trump fundraiser, but a separate fundraiser. But, you know, it's very interesting kind of seeing some of these names in the mix in this VP race that could go for Kennedy and then potentially use that as a way to kind of springboard over to Trump to hear, oh, you know, it's kind of like when you're trying to play one employer after another, get a higher salary. It's like, oh, I might go to Kennedy, but I could come over here. So I don't know.
Here's the problem, Charlie, that Kennedy has, and it's the problem for all of us, actually, to be perfectly square, is that all of the polling is showing that Kennedy's dividing the Biden independent support and not really pulling enough from the Trump independent support. So Trump's number on independents is like 40% on most of the polling that we're seeing, where he's pulling 40. In a two-way race, you know, Trump may win that, but it's clearly he's pulling more from the Biden independent source. So the way that if I'm just like a very novice, you know, political, you know, onlooker here with Kennedy, it's like, well, I need to pull more independents first from Trump in order to have any kind of shot at winning. And then I need to obviously pull more Republicans. If I'm not pulling more independents, conservative independents, I'm definitely not going to pull more conservatives in general.
It sounds like a gimmick, but if it happens, I think that I disagree. I don't think it would be 1%, but I mean, it would be stupid for RFK in the sense, if you want people to take your ticket like super seriously.
Yeah.
It would be probably smarter for RFK to pick. Let's think who it would be smart. Like, if we were to give him political
another
advice.
Person named in the article is Yang.
Andrew Yang would be interesting.
That doesn't pull conservatives, though. That, like, to that point, yeah. That I'm saying is, like, nope. He's looking at it and going through the prism of polling of, oh my gosh, I'm not winning enough conservatives.
Think about, so who else would be like a top level free thinker? Just think of who goes on Joe Rogan. That's yeah. Basically how we.
I mean, Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan wouldn't do it. I'm trying to think.
The problem with the conservative movement is now is like for him, it doesn't buy him anything to play with like the establishment, you know, arm. Because the establishment arm is effectively in the Republican side is effectively supporting Biden. So he can't pull anyone. And then anyone that's not in the establishment arm doesn't want to cross Trump. So this is part of the problem.
And it's interesting just because he's – he kind of is appealing to moderates, but then his kind of big distinct issue is obviously the vaccine stuff. And so you could think, oh, should he try to get a mainstream politician? Like, what if he grabbed Manchin or something and played to the middle? But all of that would then go against everything he's done in terms of his advocacy on more eccentric issues. So, yeah, maybe it's going to end up being Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, according to the Times, Kennedy Rodgers got registered on GoDaddy last week.
Oh, I'm sure somebody.
Oh, I'm sure somebody saw it.
Someone knew it was coming.
Someone in the New York Times.
Maybe.
I got a friend who just does that all the time.
Their domain squad.
Everything.
I think Kennedy's best move, if you were wanting to split conservatives, and I really hate saying this in public because I just don't want
to give them ideas.
I don't want to give people, I don't like putting things into the ether, but I mean, the smartest move is to pick up like a libertarian-esque, like someone legitimate though, that was like a former governor. Like if in this situation,
like Gary Johnson,
if this was years ago, right, and Gary Johnson hadn't already run
and destroyed his political career
if this was like a Kennedy and Johnson never run type situation, that's a little bit scary.
Or Kennedy Ron Paul.
Yeah, or Kennedy Ron Paul, right? Like that.
If we de-age Ron Paul,
you know what I'm saying?
It's like 90 now, right?
But just the premise of it, like, is like that's what's probably most frightening to splitting the vote, because then that basically legitimizes in a significant way. It turns the independent run that is lean Democrat, tilt Democrat, to like a tilt maybe.
That's what he's thinking though. He's thinking towards tilt Libertarian.
Which is why Jesse Ventura is on the table.
And make no mistake, this will probably not be the last time RFK runs for presidency. No. He'll probably do this two or three more times and try to build a coalition each time and name ID. And by the way, final thing I'll say on RFK before we get to Noble Gold, RFK was not platformed on major news networks. He was kind of a laughingstock, just thought on the vaccine issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like totally changed his persona. He's taken seriously. He's more viral. More, you know, well known. Mm-hmm. So it's been a total win. I mean, he's kind of a guy that will never stop running for president, right? I mean, he's just the guy that for
2028.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
2028 is going to be open seat.
Yeah.
No, I know. So I mean, if you're RFK, you know, you don't become president this cycle. You might win 10 million votes or 15 million votes, and you call it a start, right? You just keep on the small dollar donation army, and you just keep on doing interviews. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just kind of keep on doing interviews. Okay, what's next?
Boeing. Murdered?
Just talking about Boeing in general, I have to be very careful when I talk about airlines and pilots.
That's fair.
Why?
They just keep making themselves.
Who knows, Jack? I said things, I guess, that were too true.
Yeah, so the news story here is there is a whistleblower against Boeing who's was in a lawsuit with them, had just recently given testimony in a deposition for his case against them. He was scheduled to give more last Saturday. And then he was found dead in the parking lot of a Holiday Inn with a bullet wound in the head, which had proven fatal. And in fact, already the CEO of Boeing has come out and delivered a public statement about this. Let's play clip 90.
I can't believe you committed suicide. I cannot believe you committed suicide. How could you have done this? How could you have committed suicide?
It's from some bad movie in 2011 or so. Okay. But obviously, it's very similar to what the reaction.
Richard Lewis?
It's some guy who's an eccentric who makes bad movies, but I don't want to get too far into that. But obviously, that's the reaction of a lot of people. You can probably guess what my unpopular reaction is going to be, and all the comments are going to call me Boeing Blake over it. But I suspect he wasn't murdered by Boeing.
But why do you immediately go to the normie explanation? I'm not saying you're
normie
wrong.
Normie explanations are usually true. And
are they in like modern time?
Yeah, I'd say
I can name three examples where that wasn't the case.
Can you name three examples of whistleblowers getting murdered?
Vince Foster, do you think he killed himself?
Probably.
You think?
Do I think the Clintons murdered him?
Is that the question? Vince Foster.
I don't know all the details on it, but
right, at least I got you to pause.
I don't see why it'd be weird for a guy to basically kill himself or turn into a wreck and die.
I got you to pause.
So just
Epstein.
On this example.
Did Epstein kill himself?
Maybe. Probably.
No way.
I don't know.
No.
And even if he didn't, it's like Epstein being an actual intelligence operative potentially with possibly multiple countries. There's way more layers of like. This actually ropes in people who would both have a reason to kill him and the means to do it.
Boeing or Epstein?
With Epstein.
Oh, okay.
So Epstein, it's like, okay, if he was with Mossad, no, Mossad actually does kill people. We know they've killed people.
I'm just trying to see the
but
mind
with
of
Boeing. Blake. Here's what I'll say. I looked into this when news broke. And yes, he was a Boeing whistleblower. That is true. But they say, oh, he was giving testimony against Boeing. Well, in what? In a lawsuit that he brought against Boeing. It is a wrongful...
Look at your new title.
Of course. It is a wrongful termination lawsuit, or I think it was a retaliation lawsuit. He's suing Boeing, saying Boeing ruined his career because he was calling out problems with Boeing. And he's suing them, and he's been doing this for more than half a decade. He, I believe, got pushed out in 17. He's been suing them at least since 2019, because that's when he was interviewed by the BBC over this. He is in a long-running legal battle with Boeing on a personal scale. So this is not some trillion-dollar lawsuit where if the his next day's testimony might decide whether they're convicted or not. It's just his personal lawsuit with them. So in that context, it makes a lot more sense to me that this is a guy who perceives his life as getting ruined by Boeing, and he's been doing this for years on end, and unfortunately, maybe this eventually, he's already a depressive, maybe he had substance abuse problems, it could be any number of things, and this culminated in him killing himself. And no one had heard of this guy until his death, so I guess if he also was feeling suicidal anyway, and he wanted to hurt Boeing, this certainly is a way to do it, because...
Yeah, but I mean, not everybody knew who Jeffrey Epstein was before he killed himself.
Everyone knew who Jeffrey Epstein was.
Blake, Jack,
there were memes
Jack,
about that.
No, hold on a second. Do you think a majority of Americans knew who Jeffrey Epstein was before he killed himself? Yes or no?
A majority, no.
Yeah, okay.
I think
was he pretty well known? Yes.
How about
it was a popular meme that he would kill himself
before
it was a popular meme that he would kill himself. Remember,
because there was like a 30-day
Hillary Clinton
between arrest. Yeah. There was a 30-60-day lag between arrest and suicide.
Epstein gradually built up in fame, but he was 100% a big deal before his suicide, which is why his suicide was such a big deal in the first place, because people are always claiming everyone who died was actually murdered by the deep state or whatever.
So, Jack, I think, Jack, you and I, when we see stories like this,
what was strange for me, though, was that, I was reading the news, and apparently over in Russia, there was a whistleblower of the Russian, I think, Aeroflot is their big, communist airliner or whatever. And they had a whistleblower, and their whistleblower was found shot in the head as well by Vladimir Putin, who was standing there with a smoking gun. And so clearly, there's just an epidemic of suicides going on. No, the other one I thought of was what if it wasn't suicide? What if he had actually just ridden a Boeing plane recently and fell out?
Yeah.
Well, so this is getting bad. Every day there's a Boeing problem.
I do wonder about that, because...
Do you think it's confirmation bias?
I wonder about that, just in the sense we know there are feeding frenzy type stories where something becomes a big deal, so they look for all of these. Some of these are for real. Window blows out and there's a catastrophic decompression and the plane nearly crashes, people nearly die. That's a real story. But a lot of these stories we've had in this past week are stories like flight out of San Francisco has minor mechanical issue, turns around and lands again. And I think planes do that. My gut feeling is that happens relatively often, just like planes turn around because they have unruly passengers.
Boeing.
Well, there's only really two companies that even make planes. So
Boeing.
It's going to be Boeing or Airbus. And so just from that, and I think there's more Boeings than Airbuses in the U.S. So,
but I think a lot of them were 737s, right?
For sure, yes. The 737 has real issues. I don't dispute that.
737 MAX.
Yeah. There are real issues, real safety concerns.
Didn't they say they used like hand sanitizer or something to like...
Yes, they audited after that decompression incident. They did a quick audit and they found that out of, I think, 96 processes or so, I think 31 of them, they failed. And two of the most notable things they saw is they were using dish soap as an emergency lubricant, and they were using like a credit card, a plastic credit card as a tool in some capacity. So this is something in their factories. And the big picture here that I think is interesting is everyone's debating what's causing the decline of Boeing. And it's not the easiest thing to answer. Now, an obvious thing to blame is DEI. I think you can very reasonably
blame
that.
That's a variable.
They're a very loud pro DEI company. They made big DEI commitments in 2020. That's not surprising because Boeing is such a big defense and government contractor, and all of those companies just fall all over themselves to adopt whatever the Washington ideology is these days. But it's also, Boeing is so immense. They're such a huge company. They produce these products that take, you know, a decade or more to design and prototype and build, and then they have a service life of decades on end. So stuff, if Boeing is very obviously going bad now, we might be looking at things that started to go wrong 20 years ago that are really only manifesting now. And it's interesting to look into this because one of the stories, this is just sort of a more boring take, but a take I've seen in a lot of places is in the mid 90s, Boeing bought McDonnell Douglas, which was another major jet manufacturer. And what's funny is Boeing bought the company, but the sort of take from insiders is it's really more like McDonnell Douglas bought Boeing because they absorbed all of these executives from them. And these guys were better at being executives, basically. And so they took over Boeing. So, for example, the former head of McDonnell Douglas becomes Boeing's CEO in the early 2000s. Hmm. And what McDonnell Douglas was is they were not as much an engineering company. Boeing was all West Coast, Silicon Valley engineering. It was an engineer-led company, very focused on the product. McDonnell Douglas was a businessman-led company, very focused on the bottom line. So they spun off all of Boeing's operations. So now their planes aren't built by Boeing in Boeing factories. Instead, Boeing is just assembling parts made by 500 different contractors and subcontractors. And there's a lot of reason to believe this is what ruined Boeing, is they spun off everything that they controlled themselves, and they ruined their culture of perfectionism. And now we have this company that slaps things together and, you know, think, 99% certainty is pretty good. And then they start having all these problems.
Final thoughts on this topic, Jack.
I think that's a huge part of it. And by the way, we really should be asking questions as to Nikki Haley's role or whatever role she played in any of this. The move from the Seattle area to South Carolina. Obviously, Nikki Haley played a huge part in that. That's what won her the board seat on Boeing. And so why is it that we have this politician who was running for president, and yet there was no question about it whatsoever? The media didn't bring it up. I don't even really remember Trump bringing it up that much. And frankly, I think it's something that when we do have politicians that are this clearly bought off by one of these failing companies like this, we should be asking those questions. And especially with Boeing, in many ways, similar to Aeroflot and similar to what we were saying about TikTok, Boeing is by and large a state-owned or at least state-related enterprise in the United States. And it's kind of silly that we don't talk about it like that.
Okay, next topic.
Final topic. This one goes to Jack. It's James K. Polk's America.
All right. Yes, how America. Tyler has strong opinions on this too. Is blowing up the chat.
I love this.
Jack, lead
us. I love this. Well, so this is kind of a conception that we've talked about for a long time. And if we have the map, it's probably easier to just show it to everybody. And so Polk and people remember that he was a president during the Mexican-American War, and there was this question after the war, kind of like, what would America look like during or after the war? America wins, Mexico is defeated. It's like this resounding victory. And of course, everyone remembers, or everyone knows as of now. So we get Arizona, we get California, we get the current borders. We don't get Baja California. Polk at one point was actually calling for full on Baja California, the entire northern half of Mexico, the island of Cuba, the Yucatan Peninsula, though notably and perhaps presciently not Haiti. So the question is not necessarily so much, and there's a long conversation that we had offline, you know, kind of about like what would the politics of the region have been had this actually gone forward, but there is a sense, I think, as well of why is it that we as Americans just limit ourselves to thinking that, oh, well, you know, this is where the border is and this is where this treaty was and that's the end of it. And we sort of lost that spirit, that pioneering spirit of Manifest Destiny. I mean, why did Manifest Destiny have to stop? And is that a good thing?
Tyler, you have strong opinions about this, about what could have been in the American Southwest.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this all the time, you know, in the Gadsden purchase, we should have acquired more of Mexico. And the history is pretty simple. Most Americans actually don't know this history at all. The Mexican armies were horrible. You know, they pillaged, raped, killed, most, I mean, they're the epicenter. It's so funny. 'Cause you see, the Marxists today in California, Arizona talk about how like, oh, indigenous people. And they loop in, you know,
that's like La Raza, right?
Hispanic people. It's like, actually the historic Hispanic peoples of Mexico raped and pillaged and killed so many Native Americans. And actually the only saving grace was that a lot of in Arizona history, you know, white pioneers came to Arizona and actually defended some of the Native American tribes from other tribes and from the Mexican armies and pushed them back. And then that led to the Mexican-American War and yada, yada, yada. But that fast forwards to this whole concept is like, should we have acquired Baja California? Should we have more of Sonora and Chihuahua? And the answer is yes. Like the reason why shouldn't we have taken on more? Think about all that prime real estate in Baja California. And the big question is today is if we had Baja California, would that be a more conservative version of California? Would California be less liberal because of that? You know, I don't know.
I don't even know if you need to think of it in terms of liberal conservative today. This is a controversial way of framing it, but one of the simplest ways of putting it is, would it have been better for the inhabitants of Chihuahua, Sonora, Sinaloa? Those are all of those states that you can see on the screen are
the northern parts.
These are all the northern states of Mexico. At the time when this war was being fought, those were almost, I don't want to say totally empty, but they were very lightly populated. I checked a census for Mexico around 1900, and you're looking at about maybe 1 million people across all those territories. And that's 50 years later. So 50 years before that, it's probably under 500,000. And so if those areas had been part of the United States, then they would have had the benefit of United States government, United States stability, United States settlement patterns. Instead, they were in Mexico. And if you read a history of Mexico, it's really bad. Mexico is just entirely drenched.
You're big on this.
Yeah, I just read it recently. The book was titled Fire and Blood, which tells you everything you need to know about its contents. Mexico is an enormously unstable country. It's an enormously violent country. To the extent Mexico is viable at all, it's mostly just because it's adjacent to this huge economic power of the United States to somewhat, you know, keep it viable as a country and not totally disintegrating into like warlords, like it's, you know, some medieval state. And so it's, you think in terms of, would it have just been better if the United States, the stronger country, had been running those areas? And it's awkward because you don't like to just say, oh, we should just kick in the door and take stuff over. But that is basically what we did for California, Texas, Colorado, New Mexico. And would you rather live in California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas? Or would you rather live in Tijuana, in Ciudad Juarez, in those places? And, well, Ciudad Juarez has its ups and downs, but most years it's one of the deadliest cities on planet Earth.
What could have been?
You know, right.
Yeah, final thought, Jack.
No, I was just going to throw out there, Blake, have you ever heard the story about when L. Ron Hubbard was in the Navy and accidentally invaded Mexico?
I have not.
Yes, the L. Ron Hubbard, who was supposed to be doing this, founder of Scientology. He was in the Navy. He was supposed to be doing this escort of a new aircraft carrier out of San Diego with like this little picket ship, and which had like actual shells and artillery on it and all this other stuff. And he accidentally went, his navigation was not so great. And so he actually went south of the border there in like 1940, like during World War II. Goes south of the maritime border and ends up on the Mexican side. And like the Mexican Navy, this is like south of Coronado Island and all that. The Mexican Navy actually sailed up to be like, excuse me, what is going on here?
And you know,
it's kind of amazing. In the whole story of L. Ron Hubbard,
we just mentioned McDonnell Douglas, and in L. Ron Hubbard's cosmology for Scientology, it was Douglas DC-8 that brought the alien souls to Earth.
It was the DC-8, yes.
Douglas DC-8 yes. were to drop the souls into the volcano before they were blown up with atomic bombs.
Well, the Thetan.
The Thetans, is that what it was? We are
all Thetans.
We are all Thetans in Scientology. We have to clear the Thetans.
A Thetan is a human.
So Thetans are what we're...
No, you're the same thing. A Thetan is a human body.
Okay. But I think we also have the alien spirits in us. So you want to get rid of them.
Thetan is the shell.
Yes. So it all circles back to Scientology. That said, I have a problem with that, Matt, before we go. One, we should definitely not take Cancun.
So if he hadn't invaded Mexico, if it had been part of Baja California, then he wouldn't have accidentally invaded Mexico, which means he wouldn't, his Navy service may have been better, which means we may not have gotten Scientology. If James Polk had gotten his way.
Would have been a win. But the point, the bigger picture for today is we should aspire to a grand, greater America. And that's why we should buy Greenland from Denmark.
Yes.
And we should annex Antarctica.
Hard to disagree.
Greenland, 100% Republican state, by the way.
All right. Check out the Rumble no Cloud. Question. Thank you guys for watching. Till next week, keep committing thought crimes. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.